previously.tvpodcastnetwork.
There's nothing in this world quite as useless as a useless man.
Oh. This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 159 for the week of June 12th, 2017. I am Russian seat warmer David T. Cole, and I'm here with drug-seeking behavior Sarah D. Bunting.
My back hurts.
Manscaper Tara Ariano.
Yeah, get right in there.
And Aunt Mummy Eve Beatty.
He was going to teach me to jet ski.
Welcome to another Extra Hot Great. Welcome to our guest, Eve Beatty. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Eve.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Yay!
We are all gathered to talk about Claws, which I threw in a brief plug for at the end of our last episode, not necessarily knowing whether it would be the lead topic this week. And I am so glad we decided to do it because I watched the episode again, obviously, for this podcast, and I loved it even more the second time. Eve, as our guest, tell us, what did you think of Claws? I know you were excited about it before it started, but did it live up to your hopes and expectations?
Oh, it absolutely did. I mean, obviously there are problems that, you know, of course, we will not be able to restrain ourselves from getting into in a little bit. But this is, if any of you guys read my Daytime Divas new show fact sheet from, when was that, a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. I was hoping for something like this for that show. This is, in my opinion, the kind of show that you should have in the summer, where there's just enough meat, just enough juice, just enough bonkersness, and, you know, something that fulfills, I think, all of the worst stereotypes about Florida. That, to me, is summer TV, and I feel like this show is giving it to me, you know, all over the place, and I don't know. I couldn't love it more.
I wasn't sure what David T. Cole would think of it either, because it's a very girly program, but I was pleased.
Is it?
It's pretty girly.
I mean,
it's all about women.
It's that
mostly.
Girly.
Okay.
No,
there
I know.
Are girls.
That's true.
It takes it's, it. The hook is, you know, they all work in this nail salon. But beyond that, like, oh, after I watched it, I thought, like, this could be a side project to Justified.
Yeah.
I
mean, absolutely.
Like,
yes.
Like, meanwhile, totally. in
Palmetto.
In mm-hmm. you know, Florida, this is happening. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Wynn Duffy walk into that salon at some point.
Like, the Michael Rapaport character was supposed to be a Florida-based Dixie Mafia guy, and his guy would drop into the story very, very easily.
Totally.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like it's like mostly that inept part of Justified, you know, criminality. And then like mixed with like a little bit of the glitz from the Hollywood part of like Get Shorty or something like
yeah.
that seems to be the math involved. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it feels like, you know, what Bridesmaids was to like gross out dude to The Hangover. this is to, you know, like Justified and other sort of man focused police caper kind of stuff, you know, like
yeah.
Who's the guy who wrote Justified's names?
Elmore Leonard.
Yeah. This seems like it could be from him.
Yep.
Yeah. And he wrote Get Shorty too, Dave. Yep. So I think that you're really onto something in terms of sort of the feel of it. Mm-hmm. I do think if Elmore Leonard was a little better at writing women, he would have written something like this
yeah.
or even like, obviously I feel like there's a big sort of Carl Hyacin influence
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're our crime expert. What did you think of this new wrong side of the law procedural?
I adored it. It does so many things right. Like it drops us right into things and doesn't over-explain
yes.
it
yep.
too much. I loved it immediately because they panned right past the sign outside, like in the opening shot that said, "Our gels last till Black History Month," which I just was like, that someone bothered to do that, I thought was great. These relationships are all pre-existing and they don't feel like they should feel contrived, and they are, but, the relationships among all these different kinds of people at the salon are really cool and they feel lived in, like, mm-hmm. You know, do I think ankle bracelet lady necessarily would be there? No, but that's Carrie Preston for you. Like, she both belongs and doesn't belong anywhere. I love her. I loved that even things that were ridiculous, like, should we do spoiler music? Because one episode has aired as you're listening to this, but I have seen three.
Oh, so we didn't watch it.
Yeah, same here.
Spoilers, a whole fun ahoy.
Yes, indeed. Like Roller's funeral, for example, is ridiculous.
You guys, that is what my funeral is going to be like.
Duly noted. It's ridiculous, but like the show sort of teases its own characters, but it obviously is fond of them. Like, it's not mean to its own characters. And also, I just love looking at it. Like, there is nothing about basically anyone's style except Carrie Preston's character that I would ever do. Not the nails, not the giant hair, not the gazillion necklaces and rings and like gel coke nail on a dude. But I love looking at it. Like, I feel like Niecy Nash's boobs and I are like related now. And I am here for it. Like, every outfit is just like, hello, we're plating the dinners. And I'm like,
are we done with spoilers?
Yes.
Oh.
It's important. You got to close the spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, spoilers about episode 2 of Claws Are Out and something. Now we're back to episode 1. Yay. It never really goes with the music, does it?
No, it doesn't. She is so great. She's been great on TV for obviously a while, you know, back to Reno 911, playing Holt's sister on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and on Scream Queens, of course. But this is like, I feel like this is the first show where I've seen her show, like, portray the whole range of what she can do. I know people liked her for Getting On. I think she was nominated for an Emmy for that too, but I didn't watch it. And she, what it struck me the second time through the pilot was she has such a great smile and also such a great scowl. I feel like you don't necessarily always see that, both of those on the same face, but like her whole self lights up when she smiles, and when she scowls, it's like she will kill you with her eyes. Like, she's so good as the protagonist in this show, I thought.
And she has a scene while she's relating to her, I think, supposed to be on the spectrum brother, whom she cares for, that he's sort of like he's like spiraling, and she's just trying to pee, and she's trying to hold it together and not yell at him. And it's just a really nice scene. Like, it's difficult to watch because you can feel her frustration and also her guilt that she's about to lose it on this guy. But it's, yeah, it's really well done. Like, you really feel for these people, but it's also like, it's fun. It's compelling. You want to see what happens next. And it's very like shiny and sparkly. I wish there were more manicure process, actually.
You wanted,
I went and bought some little Wonder Woman nail stickers after watching these, because I mean, whatever, you know, I have short nails, I do a lot of woodworking, there's not a lot I can do, but I'm like, I've got to do something after this. I have to up the nail game just a little bit, because, as you know, as Des says, your nails are the windows to your soul.
Yeah, I love this tiny detail of when they have the one client close to the beginning of the episode where she's telling her sad story about, you know, her
pizza assault.
The pizza assault.
Yeah.
And then the end of it is like Des has just finished doing her nails and she asks Virginia, this, you know, trampy new employee, to finish up with the top coat. And then when we cut back to them, it's the client looking at them like, oh, because she ruined them. Because she sucks. It's a very difficult skill, doing nails. I am very bad at it. And I agree with Sarah. I would like to see more of that. It seemed like in the tease for the season, there's an episode that may be coming up with a nail competition. And I can't wait.
Oh.
It's like Bring It On with nails.
Yeah. What's interesting to me about this and Daytime Divas is when I was started seeing promos for both of them, I thought, oh, this is the Unreal effect. Like, it's taken two summers for the other networks to, you know, see the success of Unreal and say, we need to find another unconventional setting where we can put a whole bunch of women and watch what happens. And so I think I feel like these two might be sort of beneficiaries of the halo effect of Unreal. What did you guys think, Eve? Starting with Eve.
Yeah, well, I think so. And I think, you know, like sort of looking back on it, if I had been thinking more clearly, I would have just pitched, you know, the dissimilar show. I can't remember the name of the feature off it. The dissimilar show sort of showdown that mm-hmm. like we've done in the past with certain things, because I think that that would have probably made for a more interesting piece than what I ended up writing for Daytime Divas. It would have been fun to compare the two, especially because unlike, you know, my other current favorite show where there's a bunch of women, both this show and Daytime Divas have really made this concerted effort to be extremely racially diverse.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and sometimes to me, like that can be a little like Jackie Chan movie where it's this like awkward rainbow coalition where you think these people would not be hanging out. But in this case, and I don't know, in Daytime Divas, they're forced together in the workplace. But in this case especially, I do believe that these people are friends because there is sort of that level to diversity in, you know, sort of that part of Florida that we're talking about mm-hmm. that makes it believable to me that, you know, we haven't even talked about Judy Ray's character, that would, I think it's Quiet Anne, the, you know, Carla from Scrubs,
yeah.
who has this role where she barely ever speaks, but she still seems to be saying so much more than she did, especially in the last few seasons of Scrubs.
Yeah. Sarah, what did you think?
I can't really speak to the unreal effect, although now that you've pointed it out, I think you're right. But what I noted was that I think that TNT, after like 5 years, I'm going to say at least, of trying to like elbow its way into the prestige TV space with various things that like had good casts but didn't quite work, or like it's a good concept but they didn't execute on it, first with Animal Kingdom and now this, I think that this network has finally arrived mm-hmm. in terms of understanding what draws people to a story and not being too, I think they always were trying to do something like capital D dark and capital I important. Mm-hmm. And I think once they finally, like, Animal Kingdom was a pre-existing property, so I think that helped. And they seem to have just gotten out of their own way somehow, mm-hmm. but it's great. I love Animal Kingdom and I love this show, and I am a little bummed that I already watched the first three because I have to wait like a month for a new one and it sucks. But this is really a great show, and I was thrilled because I was like, this is one of those that I really wanted to like, but I was afraid that it wasn't mm-hmm. going to be like kind of a B, and I'd mm-hmm. be like, oh, that's too bad. Like, it's great.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you guys think of a show that's doing a better and sort of clearer-eyed approach to the opiate crisis and, you know, and the sort of the bullshit, like how this stuff is being run by these bad guys? Because in my opinion, what we're seeing in terms of how Uncle Daddy is running these clinics and basically passing out Oxy to everyone is very accurate in terms of, you know, what I know is actually going on in places like, I'm sorry, it's such a stereotype, but, you know, Florida and other places, you know, other red state areas. It's just interesting.
I was thinking about that actually, because I think most of us are, you know, a lot of people have read that New Yorker article that's yep. like a window into the crisis in West Virginia. There have been numerous documentaries just on HBO in the last year or so about the crisis. But I was thinking that in terms of how the show relates to Bryce.
Yeah.
And that his wife is sort of like, she's very matter of fact about the fact that he's a drug addict and that's what he's addicted to.
Yeah.
But it's just factual and not judgmental that like this is part of the economy, and you know, you have to, it's not even that you have to choose whether or not to be a part of it. Like, you almost can't choose
yeah.
because that's the, it's like braided into everything else in life in that area.
I gather I gather that it came up in American Crime season 3, which I didn't watch, but from listening up to our podcast American Crime Time, that was something that was a thread that went through that season, which is set in North Carolina too.
Well, and I just think that, you know, maybe a less smart show would have made this stuff about running meth, because you know, meth was sort of the old pills, but it is such a game changer now that that meth has been replaced by all these opiates. And I think that this is, once again, this is, I mean, there's still going to be people are always going to be doing meth, you know, meth's great or whatever, but I just know, I'm from a part of Indiana that, I'm from a part of Indiana that's like Florida, except without all the fun stuff, just like all the bad, depressing stuff, not the cool, bonkers crime stories, just no the horrible beaches. Ones that make you want to die. And I know that that's how it is that all these parts of where I'm from that have been destroyed by meth, it's a whole different ballgame now, because now what it is that every single poor person's just addicted to pills. And so to me, this was a completely accurate sort of depiction of it, and one of the few times that I feel like people who are making drama actually get what's going on mm-hmm. in the spots in the middle. So that to me was very exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I'm glad we all liked it, since I was the one who suggested it. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, two things we haven't talked about yet. One, Dean Norris.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dean Norris being covered in glitter. That was great. yeah. He seems to be having a lot of fun in the role. And, you know, given the events of episode one, probably he'll come a little bit more to the forefront, I'm guessing.
I'll just say about him, I was tweeting back and forth with past guest of the show, Jeff Drake, co-host of the Wine and Roses podcast about The Bachelorette. And he, as you know, if you listen to Making the Sausage, has worked in, he cuts promos. Mm-hmm. So I think he says he saw a version of the show that Dean Norris was not in. Mm-hmm. So like when I tweeted last night, it's been a day, why aren't we all talking about Claws? He was like, because it's bad. I was like, no, it's good. So like, I wonder how much it changed from whatever version he was given to adding Dean Norris, because I can't imagine that episode without him. He's braided all the way through it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I also wonder how, like, you know, everyone's sort of calling it a dramedy, which I think we need to retire that word. Mm-hmm. I am not a crackpot.
Yeah.
But I can see if he saw a version that was like sort of cut to be more like
comedic
with more yucks, that it's like, all right, that's like, don't try so hard. But I didn't get that sense from it.
Yeah.
That it was like supposed to be a dark comedy. Well, I thought it was a crime story.
If they fixed a pilot, they did a good job.
Yeah.
All right. And the second thing is the brother. I don't know where they're going with that. That seems like maybe he was stuck in for the sole purpose so far of making her more, you know, likable in the face of being involved in, you know, Dixie Mafia drug scams.
Well, it gives her a reason to be striving.
Yeah, I guess. But it also just seems so, I don't know. Kind of cliche.
Dave, I'm with you. That's sort of my biggest problem with the show is not just that the brother exists, but the characterization of him to me. It's like in a later episode, we get a little more insight into his particular disorder. And to me, it's just very much like all I can think about is, you know, Tropic Thunder and the whole like don't go full retard thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just it seems very made for TV spectrum disorder as opposed to actual spectrum disorder.
The hit in the head stuff right away and all that just seemed quite, I don't know. I mean, if they're going to do something like that, I would rather them challenge themselves and work with people that are actually, you know, autistic actors and, you know, have a more heartful portrayal of it. Cause this one, you know, that actor, and it's just something just rank false about that whole part of it. And
it's Harold Perrineau Jr.
From Lost and Oz and et al. So that was the only part that I really didn't like, but the rest of it I was really into. But I did want to mention that as something to look out for. Hopefully they can figure out what to do with that. But it really just seemed like a fix it to me.
Yeah,
they bring it around. What I'm hoping is that they jump him in to actual plot instead of just making him like a catalyst, bringing him into the actual story more and being outside the house. And then maybe that'll sort of come back around. And once we can spend more time with him, then he'll have more texture, because I would tend to trust the show. I agree with you guys, but I would tend to trust the show. Like once he gets more than a couple of minutes and some cutesy drawings, that it might turn into something that's actually adding.
Where do you guys fall in the Walt Jr. from Breaking Bad? Like, I don't think they ever really used him in the way that I think you're hoping for. You know, like he had a part in some of the plot, certainly at the beginning with the whole, you know, donation thing and stuff like that. But he was never really integral. Like he like if what you're suggesting is, say, like the brother becomes involved, the mafia involves the brother in a way or something like that as leverage or something like I can see something like that. But it's not really where they went with like the Walt Jr. character in Breaking Bad. So I don't know. I guess we'll see where it goes. But I just kind of think that it's
maybe they've learned there's enough similarities here, I think, to Breaking Bad and to that sort of like story and the evolution of your central character that maybe they learned the lesson of Walt Jr. What was his name that he was trying to make everyone call him? Flynn.
Flynn.
maybe they will have learned from that. And like, I'm not talking about involving him like he gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like he has skills that can help.
Oh, I see.
The rest of the crew.
Right. Right.
That's my wish list.
Yeah, but then we'll again, see. Like if they turn him into the, you know, the drug counting Rayman of the show, that'll be equally disappointing as where we are right now.
Yeah, but, I would not feature that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. All right. But this was a surprise to me, and very strong show, and especially for like a summer debut too.
Yeah. Now we all have something we can enjoy the summer.
Absolutely.
For a change.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I understand, Tara, that you have made a list.
I sure have. I usually on previously.tv every summer do a list of the SNL first time hosts we would like to see in the season ahead. And the more that I've done this, the harder it is because I have to try to not repeat people. Sometimes I end up being right like two seasons early. So I made a brief list looking ahead at what's going to be coming up of the people that I think would be good hosts. And I also had an eye, which the show does not, toward having guest hosts that are not white people. So let us proceed. Here's my list. Ellie Kemper has lots of sketch experience. She came up through UCB. We just announced today as we record this, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt has been renewed for a fourth season. So it seems like a no-brainer that she should host around the time that that comes out on Netflix, especially since she's tied in with the SNL universe via Tina Fey, who co-created that show. Idris Elba, also, I just put him on the list for whatever movie he's in next, which is Dark Tower? That's what he's in. But now he's also going to be in another season of Luther. Look out, British doors. Luther's coming for you to smash you up into bits. Kind of shocking that he hasn't done it already, right? He's like, he's such a fan favorite of, I don't know, people with discernment. Kumail Nanjiani, also lots of comedic experience as a stand-up comic. And on Silicon Valley, he just wrote a movie with his wife about based on their real life experience of how their relationship started when they had just first started dating. And then she had, I believe, a brain tumor called Big Sick. That film will be out this summer. And so he would be a good, you know, season premiere kind of guy, depending on how that movie does. Taron Egerton of Kingsman. So cute. So funny in that movie. The sequel is coming out later this year, I think, or possibly early next year. Mostly, I just think he's cute, but he also, he was pretty funny in that movie and really a surprise.
You know who'll also be good from that movie is Mark Strong.
Yeah, he would be good.
Seems like he's got a good sense of humor.
I was about to say Fortitude's Mark Strong, but was that him? That was, I might think of Stanley Tucci.
He was in Sherlock Holmes.
That was the Tucci,
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
The other bald guy.
Yeah. It's time to play Stanley Tucci, Andy Garcia, or Mark Strong.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia.
And finally, Samira Wiley, currently wrapping up The Handmaid's Tale, also had a couple of spoiler alert, brief appearances in this season of Orange is the New Black, and I'm sure we'll be back in You're the Worst the next season. She is great and very funny, and I think she would be an excellent host in that kind of environment. And I have an honorable mention of just something that I tweeted last week, not necessarily a host or hosts that I want to see. I just want the credit when I turn out to be right. All the kids from Stranger Things. I can totally see a gimmick episode where all of them come to host. And now I understand that you guys have some suggestions too. Did we cross over in any respect, Eve?
No, we did not. And I was surprised because I too tried to not have any white men on my list, both in life and for the segment. So my picks are very obviously John Cho, because that's everybody's favorite like sort of side game, right? Is to say who John Cho could have played in a movie instead of whatever stupid white guy. I don't know what he has coming out. I don't think he has a Star Trek movie coming out again next year, but I'm sure he has something. So, but whatever. He's John Cho. Put him in. Amy Sedaris was, I think, in the cast very briefly, but she's never hosted.
I don't think so.
I think that she would be amazing, obviously, because she's so bizarre. And so that she hasn't already been a host, I think, is probably a crime. Rashida Jones, who we probably should have mentioned, is one of the executive producers of Claws, would, I think, be a wonderful host. I was never completely sure about her, I have to admit, until Angie Tribeca, which just wrapped up its second season. And I think that, you know, everybody's talked about on this podcast what an amazing show that is and how terrific she is on it.
I'll just interrupt to say I had suggested her for season 40. So that was back in 2014 and they still haven't listened to me. Dicks.
Okay. Well, so I have to admit that I did not remember a post you wrote that is about 2014. I'm really sorry.
I only had to look. I had to look it up because I thought I had to. No.
But I think that this will be, you know, this will be a good time for her because I feel like she's in some like, she was just in something else too, where she was like super slutty or something and really weird. What was that?
Blackish. Anyway,
thank you. Yes. So I feel like it's like this is the right time for her. And then to me, I think the most obvious one and the one I was really surprised was not on your list is John Boyega. I just rewatched Attack the Block yesterday, and I, you know, the Star Wars movie is coming out the end of this year, right? So he is just so funny in Attack the Block, and he's just so charming and he's so delightful. And anytime you watch him on the red carpet, he's just so hilarious that, you know, once again, he's just the obvious choice for a host. And if he's not, I'll be really surprised.
Oh, yeah. Has either Isaacs been?
No. Seems I also like suggested due. Riz Ahmed, speaking of Star Wars, for last year, which they did not do that either.
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
All right. Well, don't worry, guys. I got your white guy stuff.
Oh,
and,
good.
And old white guys. I have two, and they're both old white guys. First one, Werner Herzog.
Yes.
And the second one, because robots are everywhere and they eat old people's medicine for fuel, Sam Waterston.
Yeah.
He was only ever in that Old Glory insurance ad for robot insurance for old people, but he was pretty great. Like, I don't, you know, as a you know, for your straight man, you know, doing stupid, for your male Betty White sort of skit, I think Sam Waterston will fill that bill.
And he's got something to plug with Grace and Frankie, because that'll be back for another season. Yeah. So there's your peg.
All right.
All right. We did it.
Yay. Yeah. All right, we're continuing the band men train, I guess. And here's Tara with the Handmaid's Tale. And
are we ever off the band men train?
I guess
no.
Who will fight me?
David! The Handmaid's Tale, as we record this, or as you listen to this, the finale will have just gone up on Hulu. The problem with this show is that it's the newsroom again, not as bad as the newsroom, but in the sense that there's nothing it could do that would make me stop watching, and knowing that is very frustrating because it does a lot of things I don't like. Starting with the fact that there's even going to be a second season, particularly since the season finale, the season one finale, basically ends exactly the same way as the book does. So now that we know season two is just going to be totally freeballing it, I'm like really wary about the flights of fancy that it's going to go into. But if it is going to jump away from the book, which it definitely has to now, they gotta start killing some men, and I am not joking. They basically, my post about the season finale is jumps off from a tweet by Alina Smith, who's a playwright and a TV writer. She's written for The Affair, that she tweeted last week or the week before, which is, these handmaids need to start killing some men instead of just getting raped by them, or I'm going to stop watching. And that's really the case. Like, I feel like we get it. Like, things are bad for women. They are subjugated. But when the only act of violence that any of them has really carried off on screen, other than the Alexis Bledel character, Emily, running over a guardian and it seemed like possibly severing his leg, like, and a shiving off screen. The only thing we've seen is Janine trying to kill herself. Like, start turning that energy where it belongs and target some guys. And if the point is, like, we want to preserve our lives, like, in the finale, they all decline to participate in salvaging, which is basically a public execution by stoning. And they all get, as far as we can tell, rounded up and brought in for questioning anyway. So, like, if that's going to happen, even if all you do is passively resist, start actively resisting. Fucking kill some men. I am not a crackpot. figure it out, The Handmaid's Tale, because it needs to happen.
Well, you can only coast so far in allegory, right?
I mean,
you get it.
Yes.
And now if they are going to go beyond the novel and the point of the novel, which is, guys, this is plausible. This shit is sort of like, you know, on the continuum, right?
It's not that different from what happens in Saudi Arabia right now.
And so what do you do, right? You can't just have like another season of
someone got a package
vignettes of this universe in which a lot of people have it bad, right? Like, So where does that go? Are we actually going to see a revolution from within, you know, or is it just going to be more of the same? It's interesting insofar that I have no idea what they're thinking.
Right.
But I share your, like, I kind of, at the end of season one, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's right? just unsatisfying. And the point is, like, the more times you have to see the ceremony happen, it's like, at what weird fetish is someone playing out at this point? Like, right. I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone, but the show was created by a man, just saying. Anyway.
Wait, are you done with this? Because I have a little something for transition.
Okay.
Gentlemen, to Weevil.
No wrong time. For my plugs, I will just mention Married at First Sight, podcast called Bride and Doom, which Brian and I are having a lot of fun with. Last week's got very vitriolic because one of the participants in the show is really a bitch, and I'll let you catch up and figure out which one it is, Danielle. And I also want to mention the new podcasts. Yes, there are even more new podcasts coming this week and next. This week, The Great British Baking Show, aka The Great British Bake Off, podcast starting this Friday with the PBS airing of the series. Dave, what is that podcast called?
I'm not quite sure exactly, but it's going to be something to do with spotted dicks.
Very good.
Yeah. Co-hosted. I think maybe two spotted dicks on The Great British Baking Show or something like that.
Well, the spotted dicks in question, and first of all, credit to Sarah D. Bunting, who came up with Spotted Dick as a title.
You are welcome.
Soggy Bottoms was a last taken. Will be co-hosted by past guests of this show, Adam Grossworth and Daniel McEachern. Adam is a baker. Daniel covered MasterChef Junior for us, so I'm very excited to hear.
And enjoys eating.
And enjoys eating, as we all do.
Sure.
So I look forward to seeing what they do starting this Friday. So make sure you're following us on Twitter, and we'll give announcements as to when all that stuff is available for you to subscribe to. And next week, Chris Huff and Allison Lohuff are joining forces to cover for us the new Netflix series Glow from Jenji Kohan, the creator of Orange is the New Black, and that will be called You Glow Girl. And so that is coming next Friday, the 23rd. So yay for new podcasts.
Eve, your turn.
Well, so I want to just remind everybody that there are two shows that exist that I am told by my friends and by people on the internet, no one's watching anymore, but I think that they are both doing a really great job. And those shows are very disparate, iZombie and Drag Race. iZombie, this is the best season of iZombie yet, in my opinion. I feel like the writing is sharper. It's definitely a little less explainy or sort of, sort of self, whatever, like, I don't know. It's a little less masturbatory. I feel like it's really settled into its own. And every week there's a little delicious surprise. It definitely is not shying away from reminding us of the show creator's greatest hit, Veronica Mars. Logan Eccles is now on iZombie, if that helps convince you. But you guys, really, I am loving this season so much. I look forward to it the next week in a way that I rarely do about anything on TV or my regular life anymore. So I strongly encourage you to go to the CW app and marathon it. I know, it's so sad, right?
I still watch it too. And I just want to say about the Jason Doran character, continuing with the pun names, not just with Liv Moore, our protagonist, or Fillmore Graves, the company that he works for, but also that his name is Chase Graves. It's not bad.
That's right.
Sure.
But the thing is, they're obviously like they're setting up. He has some really nice chemistry with Liv. I think something very interesting is going to happen here, and you know, I am completely okay with it. The other thing that I hear from people that I know is that not that many people are watching a Drag Race this year compared to years past, which is insane to me because anyone who is just reading previously TV correspondent on Mark Blankenship's coverage will know is that this is one of the first years that nobody is a real piece of shit. Everybody who is on this show is delightful and deserves to be there and is cool. And most of the queens are way smarter than in years past. You know, last season was great. Bob the Drag Queen is the best. That guy's going to be a star no matter what. But this season's really exciting, and this is a terrific time to binge it because we're right down to the final group of contestants. Next week's the reunion. So that means you have 2 weeks to catch up with everything and be there for the finale.
Yep. This week is the reunion. Next week is the finale.
Oh, right. Sorry. I don't know what day I thought it was, but yes. Thank you, Tara.
Yes, it's been so good. I'm so happy with the finalists this season. Hashtag Team Peppermint. And yeah, it's been so much fun to watch. And Mark's coverage has been excellent.
Terrific, terrific coverage. And it's just been, once again, you know, I think it's hard when you're sort of an older person and you watch a lot of TV. That's me, to be surprised by much anymore. And there have been several, I think, really delicious surprises this season, and not of the sort of unreal manufactured variety, real, genuine, like, what? You can tell that everyone who works on the show was just as surprised as we are. And, you know, and sort of a side note too, Untucked this year is better than it ever has been before. So even if, you know, you've already watched the show, it's easy to forget about Untucked since it's over there on YouTube, but that's another thing that you can watch to kill the time until the finale.
And for your plug, do you want to plug your store?
I don't even have to plug my store. The main thing that I wanted to talk about is that I recently saw the last Alien movie, and there's a character named David who was also in Prometheus. And if you go to watch this most recent Alien movie, which is a real downer, when you watch it, you need to constantly think about the David sound drop, and you will actually enjoy the film. So I just want to encourage everyone, if you don't already listen to the Again With This Beverly Hills 90210 podcast, go listen to it, get that David in your head, so then when you have to go watch the Alien movie, you can play that David and make it through the movie without wanting to kill yourself.
Thank you, Eve.
Thank you.
That's the one.
Sarah D. Bunting.
Dear Bravo completist, do you feel that Below Deck Mad has entirely too much contrived guest conflict and, in fact, attention paid to a job that we all know is primarily being carried out by off-screen professionals so that a boat doesn't, you know, crash and drown people? Have you had it with talking head eye rolls about dietary restrictions that are so 2012, and you just want straight up conflict, drinking, and sailing headfirst off of dirt bikes? Good news. Invite Only Cabo is the new Below Deck. They only deal with the kerfuffling and the hookups, and there's none of this we're supposed to have a job nonsense at sea. So I recommend it. It is also, like Claws, not only diverse, but very shiny and fun to watch from a fashion standpoint. And you don't have to sort of go along with the fiction that anyone's doing any work. So I recommend. My plug is The Blotter Presents, the True Crime on TV podcast from previously.tv. This week's guest, this episode will have dropped by the time you're listening to this. Alex Collins will be talking with me about John List, as well as Menendez Blood Brothers. And next week, it's a Jonestown extravaganza. Probably not appropriate given the subject matter, but our own Eve Beatty will be joining me for that next week. So please subscribe and follow us on Twitter to keep up with all of that and updates on past cases that we have looked at on the show.
So
that's at Blotter Presents on Twitter.
Sorry. So there's an episode this week, and then next week there's an all new freshy episode.
Yes.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Do you just assume someone was going to say that?
I'm very good at my job.
You are very good.
I wanted to talk about Orange is the New Black season five.
Yeah, season five.
I have been sort of like really so-so on Orange is the New Black since, I don't know, I enjoyed season one and season two. And since then, I've been like, But this new season where the whole thing is like the post-riot, what are we, like day three or four or something like that? Like,
well, we've watched like two-thirds of the season probably, yeah. And I think it's only day two after the riot started. Yeah.
It is very compelling and very interesting and is really keeping my attention, which is something that Orange is the New Black hasn't done in years.
As I tweeted earlier this week, all of the violence against men that I've wanted to see on The Handmaid's Tale, just go over to Orange is the New Black. That's where it's happening.
They've discovered a right amount of Piper, which is very little.
Yep.
And they've discovered who the characters we want to know more about are this season. And they are kind of sticking to that formula. And I'm enjoying that. Sarah, have you watched any of it?
You know, I quit the show when what's her name got raped by the prison helper dog guy. I don't know. For some reason, that episode just bummed me out so much. Yeah. I just couldn't make it back to it after that. Should I pick it back up?
Well, if that was the reason that you quit, maybe not.
No.
Okay.
Based on that, if that was your exit point, I would say, good call. Tara, what do you think so far?
Yeah, I think basically changing all the rules of how things work is smart because it freshens up what they can do in terms of story. Like basically everything is in chaos. They're running things. The guards have been rounded up and are imprisoned instead, and they're working out demands that they want to, you know, enact in order for the standoff to end. And it's just fascinating, like seeing a prison riot from the inside and like the logistics of how that actually works is really interesting.
Yeah,
how it changes the relationships between characters is good too.
This is this show's assassination attempt on President Bartlett. Like this is they're blowing their wad, right? And after this, like there's never going to be stakes as high as this on the show, probably, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, good on them for milking it for a whole season. And usually I'm kind of like against that kind of thing, you know, where they're doing something crazy and new and it's like the whole season's 2 days or whatever, but it's working and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm looking forward to the back half once we get rid of this damn podcast and can start watching it. So if you dropped out, I would say check back, and you can check back. Like you don't need to, I don't think you need to watch the last season or anything.
No, read
like
a recap.
That was going to be my other question. Could I just like jump in on the season?
Can. Yeah. I mean, if you're aware of the big spoiler from last season, that's the catalyst to this.
Yeah.
Not that you won't figure it out within a couple minutes of the first episode, but like that's the catalyst for this whole riot. And I would say you definitely could. Absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. I don't watch the show because of Piper, but if you're telling me that she's like sidelined, then I'll try this season.
So sidelined. Yeah. Like really almost not there. So,
yeah, but it's just fascinating the way the story has changed to sort of be about like how you pull off a real revolution in a closed environment, mm-hmm. and how, you know, this new kind of self-government is springing up and how difficult that is.
Oh, also kudos for the casting of what's her face's younger self.
Dia character. Yeah. We see a flashback of her as a teenager, and if the girl that plays her as a younger person, I didn't look it up, but it's got to be her sister because they look so much alike.
Yeah, that was good. All right, moving on. It is time for the canon, and today's user submission is probably our greatest yet submission from foreign lands. We've had accents from, I'm going to guess, England, Australia, France. And here we go. Here's our next one. It is Simpsons, episode 27, season 4, Halloween of Horror.
Other way around. Season 27, episode 4.
That's what I meant to say.
Hi, my name is Kaylee, and I submit for your consideration into the Extra Hot Great Canon, Halloween of Horror, or season 27, episode 4 of The Simpsons. Yeah, I'm going there. In their book TV the Book, Matt Zoller cites and Alan Sepinwall argued that The Simpsons was the greatest American TV show ever. They're right. And they also argued in favour of the latter era episodes being much funnier than people remembered. Granted, the show will never reach the stratospheric peaks of those first 10 seasons, but for a show now 27 years into its run, it's still consistently funny, with the past three seasons being something of a renaissance, mostly thanks to executive producer Matt Selman. The show also has begun experimenting more with style and form. This is most evidently exhibited in their array of experimental, idiosyncratic guest animator couch gags, but it's also at its peak in this episode, Halloween of Horror, which is the first actual episode of the show set during Halloween and not as an out-of-universe Treehouse of Horror special. What did The Simpsons do on Halloween? They turned their house into Everscreen Terrors, the most beloved haunted house in Springfield, although their other tradition is briefly lampshaded.
Halloween at The Simpsons. What a classic tradition. Are you heading up to the treehouse to tell three horrifying tales?
Yeah, we're doing it next week. It's going to be Psycho with Skinner and his mom, Muppet Wizard of Oz, I'm Scarecrow Fozzie, and then one where furniture gets smart and takes over the world or something.
Sounds chilling.
People love it.
On a visit to the Quickie Mart for more extra spooky decorations, Homer meets the seasonal shop workers, who offer to sell him some cheap goods they stole from Apu as long as he keeps his mouth shut. It's Homer Simpson. He doesn't keep his mouth shut. So the workers are fired, and they promise revenge on Homer for his mistake.
You got some great guys working here. They just gave me a really good deal.
Really? Tell me of this deal.
Okay, but don't tell Old Man Squishy about it. We hate him.
Out, all of you! Pop-up scum, out! No one rips off Apu Naasapima Patalan. Now take your suspiciously full duffel bags and go!
You're gonna be real sorry for getting us fired.
Well, I'm sorry now.
Yeah, you're gonna be.
I said I'm sorry now.
We said you're gonna be.
I know when I'm sorry and I'm sorry now! You guys don't know me at all.
Side note, but I love the bizarre mythos of seasonal shop workers drifting from town to town from holiday to holiday. It's a very Simpsons moment. Later that night, the kids go to Krusty Land's Halloween Horror Night, which is essentially a Universal Studios-style evening intended more for adults with more realistic threats. Lisa has waited all year for this, but ends up freaking out as it proves to be a touch too real for her, and the entire evening is cancelled as a result. The next day, she struggles with the most childlike of Halloween iconography and ends up regressing slightly, finding comfort in a battered polyester raccoon tail that she's been using as a security blanket since a toddler. This leads the family to cancel Everscream Terrors. Often the show forgets Lisa is only 8 years old and has her acting like a 35-year-old scholar when the plot calls for it. But I really appreciated the very realistic way she reacts to a horror night. She knows it's fake, but that doesn't ease her fears because, after all, she's 8 years old. With their original plans cancelled, the family pack up Everscream Terrors. Marge looks for another Halloween party to satisfy Bart, and Homer stays in with Lisa, partly to keep her company with their cat Jigsaw, and partly because the seasonal workers are now stalking them. This is where the episode really shines. The Simpsons has always played around with genre tropes and paid homage to pop culture, but this is the first time I remember the show truly embracing the imagery and expectations of horror for tension as well as humour. Even Treehouse of Horror episodes never actually go for scares, but here the battle with the seasonal shop workers turns into a take on the home intruder genre, and there are real moments of unease. It helps that the animation, so crisp and detailed, allows them to play around with the horror filmmaking style. Shaky cameras, shadows and fog, the creepy clown faces in the glass. This does lack the offset charm of the early hand-drawn years, but the modern improvements allow for a level of specificity that fits with the more experimental moments of the show. Once he knows the intruders are inside their home, Homer tries to take Lisa to the Flanders house, but she forgot her cuddly tail and rushes to get it, where they're confronted by the intruders. The pair hide in the attic, where all their seasonal decorations are kept, and have a touching moment of honesty.
Oh, I hate this. I hate feeling afraid.
Maybe I shouldn't admit this to my daughter, but I'm scared too. But you can't let fear shut down your brain, because between the two of us, we've only got one good one.
Meanwhile, Marge's attempts to find a new scary night for Bart end badly. The fanciest block party in town is too exclusive for them, and soon kids' fun makes way for adult Halloween. The Simpsons, even in its weakest moments, knows how to pull off a top-notch musical parody. And here it's full-on Rocky Horror, and we get a glimpse into the one night of the year that the already bizarre residents of Springfield truly let their freak flag fly. Costume choices include Superintendent Chalmers as Zardoz, Kent Brockman as Ziggy Stardust, and of course, Barney and Abhor Atfong.
Close your eyes if you're under 18.
It's my chance to show boobs.
Live my fantasy.
Cause tomorrow morning
we won't remember a thing. Our lives are awful and dreary. So tonight we're going way, 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 way too far. Hide your kids, this cannot be unseen. It's naked, wasted, grown up
credit to Alf Clausen, the most underappreciated man working in TV today, and possibly the hardest working for that number. Back at the house, Homer and Lisa formulate a plan to use all their seasonal decorations to warn neighbours of the intruders. Some damn mariachi skeletons alert the intruders to their hiding place, so they must act quickly to do the one thing Homer is really great at, drawing attention to himself. But he can't light the fireworks in the wind, so Lisa sacrifices Taylee in his face oil-soaked polyester glory, and the town rushes to their aid to arrest the intruders.
Help, we're up here!
Come on.
Everscreen Terrors needs our help!
We can get plastered and hit on our co-workers later. Come on!
Good!
Get him, Sardas!
Sexy grunts! Stop them!
Tragic, really. For are these guys not victims, too, in a way, of our disposable pop-up culture? When you get out, look me up. I know a guy who owns a 99-cent store.
99-cent store? Those places are open year-round!
The holidays will come and go, but we'll stay.
With her fears dealt with, Lisa gets into zombie Frida Kahlo mode, and Everscream Terrors returns to the neighborhood for all to enjoy. But the show isn't quite over. In the end credits, Maggie finds the charred remains of Taylee, which magically transforms back to its former glory. Maggie then cuddles up to it as the camera zooms in on her eye over the theme tune to the John Carpenter's Halloween. It is so bizarrely effective and genuinely unnerving, and it's also a perfect ending to this particular episode and what it's been doing. I submit this episode to you for canon submission, partly because I think the latter era of The Simpsons deserves some defending. No show of that kind of longevity can be as consistently amazing as it was for a solid decade, because for that decade, it was the greatest TV show ever. But the past few years of the show have seen some wonderful regeneration of their formula and creative team that deserves credit. If this episode had been from season 7, I imagine it would have been talked about more as a favourite. But as it is, this season 27 special shows The Simpsons at its peak in a new age, an age where they can basically do whatever the hell they want. This is an effectively chilling episode with plenty of laughs, it's a strong submission for some of the best Homer-Lisa moments on the show, has a great musical number, and it has some of the most human moments the show's ever done. The Simpsons has always balanced over-the-top premises with realistic emotional beats, which is on display here, albeit with a more grounded premise. This is an episode about a common problem kids encounter when growing up, and how their families often struggled to help them with those fears. It's not just a great latter-day Simpsons episode, it's a great Simpsons episode. And I submit it to you for the extra hot great canon.
All right, I'm going to put this to a vote. Is that the best voice we've ever had? On the canon. I say yes, Tara.
Yes, and I'm only going to pronounce the character's name from now on as Apu.
Eve, do you agree?
Absolutely. I just want that woman to say horror to me.
I know,
again,
right?
And again and again.
And Sarah?
Yes, I concur.
All right, Kaylee, I guess that means you are our first voice canon inductee. Congratulations. Prize is waiting at the door. All right, I'll make this short and sweet. Things that I liked about this episode, having abandoned Simpsons years and years and years and years ago, I like that Simpson, Homer Simpson isn't written as a total idiot, like low, like non-functioning human, which he was, like, I'm going to say, like in the season 12 kind of chunk.
Yeah.
He seems like more like the way I liked the way he was written, where he wasn't... a dunderhead, he was just sort of like an absentee kind of forgetful father, right? But he still had a heart there. I like that Lisa gets a real arc as a kid. That happens every once in a while when she's not being a super genius on the show. And it was always nice to kind of like remind you of that. And this episode does that. There's a couple good laughs here. My favorite part was absolutely the Get 'em Zardos underlying audio. But this episode is so far away from peak Simpsons. Like, it is, you know, in the valley, looking up on the mountaintop. You know, there's the peak. That's where we were in, I'm going to say, full seasons. We're talking seasons 3 to season 8 are my sweet spot. There's some season 2 that is of quality of season 3, but we're talking full seasons, 3 to 8, and then you can leave. And, you know, by that time you hit 27, you kind of got yourself into a creative routine, I think. And I think Simpsons is pretty rote now, and there's not really a lot of that wit and spark of those earlier seasons. So, you know, when you have 27 seasons to choose from, it makes it really easy to say this isn't good enough. And I don't think this is good enough. So
I agree. This to me felt like they had two ideas left over this year that they wanted to do as Treehouse of Horror segments. One would be The Strangers, which is the parts with the, you know, the pop-up store carnies. And the other being a more full-featured Rocky Horror Picture Show parody, which we saw with the musical number. And both of those were well done, but they didn't, to me, they didn't mesh. No. And I appreciate that this is trying to go back to what The Simpsons did well in its heyday, which is keep it on a human scale and tell a recognizable human story that then gets absurd. And so the point about Lisa acting like an actual 8-year-old is well taken. I agree. They do that well. And Homer actually gets a nice moment when they're in the attic when she thinks this is all fake and he has to tell her, like, I know I've lied to you so many times. I've told you more lies than there are stars in the sky, but this is real. But my main thing is, like, so much of it turns on Taylee. And that's not a thing that was ever in any previous episode unless it was from, you know, since I stopped watching. And so for that to be the pivotal thing, it's like, Taylee's not a thing that we know. It's something you made up for this episode and then gave significance that we have to trust in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how else they could have done that other than make it Snowball One's tail.
Or her saxophone. Or
whatever, something. Yeah. I don't know. But so, there were you know, some things that worked, but to me this just felt like it was 2/3 of a regular Treehouse of Horror episode, and it didn't quite gel for me. Eve,
well, like you guys, I haven't watched The Simpsons in a long time. I was actually talking to a couple people at the coffee shop this morning, and we were all like, have we watched an episode from the last 10 years? And none of us could think of one. So that's one of the reasons that I sort of wanted to look at this, because I've always thought, oh, the Treehouse of Horror ones, you know, those are the good ones. Those are the ones that I would always look forward to. So even if the other whatever episodes they have all year are crappy, this will be good. So I have to say I was a little bit crushed that this is not a standard Treehouse of Horror episode, but that's no one's fault. My preconceptions, I can't hold anyone else responsible for that, but I'm still a little bit bummed right now. I don't mind, you know, one of the things that I do like about The Simpsons, it's the same thing that, you know, I think that, like, you know, regular shows sort of adopted in a really good way, that they take that recognizable pop culture thing and then jam it into their universe and make it funny and sort of more manageable. And I like how they did that with The Strangers, The Hills Have Eyes, you know, all that stuff with this. You know, I don't mind that. I always like sort of their Hill Jack characters. And I also appreciated that kind of throwaway line where Apu says when he's running the Halloween store that his name right now is Abu. And I think Homer says, oh, I like that,
I like
one
that better.
More. And, yeah, and I thought to myself, I am hopeful that that is, you know, The Simpsons acknowledging that the Apu character has become as we have gotten wiser and more worldly as a culture, a very problematic character. I'm hopeful that that's what was intended there. But, oh my God, you guys, The Simpsons is just, it's so heartless now. Like, and I mean, it doesn't have a heart. There's no warmth or, you know, none of the things that I like about, I think, shows that are its sort of, that would never have existed without The Simpsons. Shows like Bob's Burgers or Regular Show, you know, have that central beating heart and that warmth and that love for its characters and that love for its audience. And I felt that there were so many things like they love it about the Halloween episode and stuff that was, it almost seemed to demonstrate a contempt for its audience. Yeah. And all of us have felt contempt for our audience at one time or another, but I think that you need to hide it a little bit. And it just felt lazy and lifeless. And I so wanted to like this episode, but And, you know, and it's, it got, what do you do? You've been on the air for whatever, like 28 years. I have interns younger than The Simpsons. And so, you know, it's, but this is, someone needs to put the show out of its misery. And this episode is what really made me believe that. So that's a problem.
Sarah.
I thought this was an excellent argument, but the things that our submitter liked about the episode, I felt it was satisfied with itself about. Like, I could see what that it was trying to, like, push some boundaries of genre. But my problem with The Simpsons since, whatever, season 9, episode 1, basically, which is where I bailed, is that there has increasingly been this, like, tell a joke, stand back from the joke, then move on. Like, the timing is off. It's too self-satisfied. And I also was expecting a more standard Treehouse of Horror, and I was also a little disappointed because I felt like this had a little bit of a neither fish nor fowl problem. But at the end of the day, like, it's just not, for a show that's been on this long and had the peaks that it had, this is just not going to cut it. It wasn't funny enough. It wasn't original enough. Again, great submission. And I acknowledge all these points, but it's the canon, not the, like, The Simpsons unfortunately can't be split up into, like, you know, peak Simpsons. Right. And then the rest of The Simpsons deserves love too. Like, not sure it does. And this was just okay for me. I wasn't, like, you know, checking my watch while I was watching it or anything, but this is The Simpsons and it has to, I think, be a little better than this to get into the canon.
All right. Sounds like we're in agreement, but let's put it to the official vote. I am saying no, Tara.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Eve.
A great presentation, but the episode did not deserve the effort you put into the presentation, I'm afraid. So no from me.
And Sarah?
Yeah, what Eve said. Please submit something anytime, or just call me up and read the phone book. That's fine.
All right, so that means Simpsons 27-4, Halloween of Horror.
Willie hears ya. Willie don't care.
Is not inducted into the canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It is time for Winner and Loser of the Week. Tara has this week's winner.
Winner of the week is Alison Brie because she is one of the stars of the aforementioned Glow. And so she's been doing press around that. And she told a story recently about having auditioned for a three-line role on Entourage back when that was still a show. And you might be saying, aren't we done dunking on Entourage? No, we'll never be done. Fuck Entourage forever. Because the story was she was brought in for this part. And after she had delivered the three lines that she would have done on the show, they asked her to take her shirt off. And she says she had apparently anticipated that and had a bikini top on underneath her t-shirt. But yeah, fucking gross. Everything you suspect about those guys, apparently true. Happy to have it confirmed. Thank you, Alison Brie. You are a hero.
That's not that much cheese.
It's Alison Brie.
Oh, I get it.
Sarah has her loser.
Ish.
Yeah, it seems a little weird to mention this story in what is basically a lighthearted segment, but yes, The Bachelor in Paradise has shut down production after allegations of misconduct, quote unquote, which, as this story has been developing, seem to have involved one contestant assaulting another contestant when she was not in a position to consent, was passed out, not aware of what was going on. A producer witnessed not only this, but that it was still being filmed, that no one really came to the contestant's aid. So that story will continue to unfold, but I'm pretty sure you could stick a fork in The Bachelor in Paradise. And if anything is to come out of this, I hope it's to shine a light on this aspect of, like, drinking culture and rape culture and not shut it off until everyone understands how fucked up this is and that this was turned into TV. And Chris Harrison fucking going on Twitter to defend anything that happened here is revolting, and he needs to have all the seats.
Yep. Agree.
If this, if the allegations prove to be correct, and I'm hopeful that the alleged victim will sue every single person involved for everything they've got, because I feel like one of the only things that's going to sort of end this whole reality show thing, and even people like Ryan Lochte have been talking lately about how they're constantly having drinks shoved in their hand. And while Ryan Lochte is an unreliable narrator, as we know, he doesn't seem smart enough to sort of, you know, make this stuff up, that everyone talks about how they're constantly getting wasted for these shows. This has got to end. And it just, the only thing that's surprising to me about this is that it's taken this long for something like this to happen.
Yeah. Or if it for did, us to hear I mean, about who, it, I'm exactly. sure it's happened.
Yep. Yay.
No segue.
Appropriate segue makes it smooth as butter.
You know, smooth as butter. Game time. Welcome back to Game Time, everybody. This is the fourth Game Time of the season.
Oh,
the current scores are Tara 2, Sarah 1, Value Guess nothing. Today we are playing monotone readings of theme song lyrics, the games.
Nice.
From Laurel, who earns herself an extra credit. Redeemable for an extra hot, great mini topic of her choosing. Oh,
this is going to be awesome.
Laurel sent us a good mix of easy, medium, and difficult lines from TV themes for me to read coldly, uncompassionately, robotically, and of course, often incorrectly. I added that. The rules are simple. I will read you a snippet from a theme show's lyrics. Answer correctly and you get 2 points, or you can ask for a hint and I'll give you another line from the same theme.
Okay.
After which the correct answer is worth only 1 point. Now some finer points. If there were alternate lyrics in different seasons, she picked the lyrics from the most commonly recognized version.
Okay.
All of these are lyrics that aired over the opening or closing credits rather than lyrics that happen to go along with an instrumental theme song.
Right.
So, for example, No Suicide is Painless.
Sure, sure.
Right.
Wherever the name of the show is mentioned in the lyrics, I will insert a blank.
Mm-hmm.
And twist. Oh. Some of these are pulled from narration over the theme music rather than lyrics proper.
Interesting.
All right.
Interesting.
Okay.
Everybody get it so far?
Yes.
All right. Yep. So yeah. Picky.
We will start with Tara.
All right, we're going to go Tara, Eve, Sarah. Are we ready to play monotone readings of theme song lyrics, in the game?
Yes.
Here we go. Tara.
Yep.
Maybe you and me were never meant to be. Maybe think of me once in a while.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
That is correct for 2 points.
Nice.
To Eve. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around.
Hint, please.
Yeah, we tease him a lot because we got him on the spot. Blank.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Nothing. I have no idea.
That is welcome back, Carter. Can I just confirm there is no steel meals in play, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And you should also say, since it came up, that the subsequent line that might be your hint is not necessarily the next line after
Correct.
The original.
It's just, okay. it's just another probably better known line from the same show. First, for Sarah, don't try to understand them. Just rope, throw, and brand them.
Don't try to understand them. I need a hint.
Keep them doggies rolling.
Oh, Rawhide.
Back to Tara.
Yep.
We'll have a gay old time.
The Flintstones.
To Eve. Your mother warned you there'd be days like these, but she didn't tell you when the world has brought you down to your knees.
Hint, please.
It's like you're always stuck in second gear when it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year.
So it's Friends?
That is good for a point. On the board. To Sarah. It's a magic carpet ride, every door open wide to happy people like you.
People like you. Hint.
Sweeping the clouds away on my way to where the air is sweet.
Oh, Sesame Street.
Good for a point. Back to Tara. I don't know. Can you repeat the question?
Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes, Life is Unfair.
Nice pull.
To Eve, just remember me when you're good to go.
Hint, please.
We used to be friends a long time ago.
Oh, Jesus. Veronica Mars.
To Sarah, I know what I've been told. You've got to work to feed the soul.
Can you read it again, please?
I know what I've been told. You've got to work to feed the soul.
I'm going to be mad at myself, but hint, please.
But I can't do this all on my own. I'm no Superman.
Greatest American Hero?
Scrubs!
Scrubs.
Fucking Scrubs. Scrubs! Every time.
This is Tatara. There's a green one, and a pink one, and a blue one, and a yellow one.
Weeds.
And they're all made out of ticky-tack. I don't want to wear my glasses. I have to wear my glasses.
Oh, shit. The monotone thing gets me. Man, a hint, please.
Really funny. Who broke the pi button on my calculator? May you be eternally grounded.
What the fuck?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to be so angry. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Anybody?
No.
Featuring a star of Sex and the City.
Oh, is it Square Pegs?
Square Pegs. Yes.
Wow.
Ew.
I could see lockers when you were saying the words.
Where we go wherever we want to, do what we like to. We don't have time to get restless because there's always something new.
Hint.
We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Oh.
Looks from everyone we meet. Shit. Shit.
Tara?
The monkeys.
The monkeys.
Oh, God. Yes.
You're all invited back next week to this locality.
In?
To have a heapin' helpin' of their hospitality. I dare say that wasn't monotone enough.
I don't know.
That's the Beverly Hillbillies.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is back to, what do we got here?
Eve,
yes.
Eve. Yeah.
Making their way the only way they know how. Making their way the only way they know how.
Hint, please.
Someday the mountain might get him, but the law never will.
Yeah.
Dukes of Hazzard?
Dukes of Hazzard. All right, to Sarah. Things ain't been the same since the blues walked into town.
I know that's right. Hit.
Oh, sorry. Sarah's going to be mad. When you woke up this morning, you got yourself a gun.
Oh, wow. Sopranos!
Monotone readings messing y'all up.
Yeah!
Never heard the word impossible.
And?
We're gonna make our dreams come true, doing them our way.
Laverne and Shirley.
Good for 1 point. Number 17.
Spread Eagle.
Spread Eagle.
Brand new pals and new career.
Hint, please.
The situation's a lot more nuanced than that.
Is it Bosom Buddies?
I love that guess.
It's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, correct.
I was just going with context, sorry.
Yeah. That was a decent guess. Why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show. That is The Muppets.
Yes,
the
correct. Muppet show. All right. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. When the thunder rolls.
Oh,
just gotta help me keep the devil way down in the hole.
Oh, The Wire.
The Wire is good for 1 point. To Eve, So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on.
Hint, please?
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious, and spooky.
The Addams Family? Thank you.
It's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do the giving.
Hint.
You might just make it after all.
Mary Tyler Moore.
They'll have to make the best of things. It's an uphill climb.
The Jeffersons? Damn it!
If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. Gilligan's Island. all right, this is to
Eve.
Yes, thank you.
Eve.
Nobody smelled no girl.
And a nickel.
A hint, please.
They alive, damn it.
I'm just going to guess and say Oz.
That is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. All right, this is back to Sarah. Fish don't fry in the kitchen.
Hey.
Beans don't burn on the grill.
There it is.
That is the Jeffersons.
That's the Jeffersons, correct. We finally got a piece of the pie.
Nice.
Girls were girls and men were men.
Oh, All in the Family.
Yes. If I show you, then I know you won't tell what I said.
Hint, please?
Two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
Oh. Wow.
I want to watch this, whatever it is. I don't know.
Pretty Little Liars.
Pretty.
Oh, yeah. No chance.
Little Liar. A light is waiting to carry you home wherever you look.
Everywhere you look.
Oh, sorry. Everywhere you look. Yes. Thank you. A light is waiting to carry you home everywhere you look.
Oh, hint.
Whatever happened to predictability, the milkman, the paperboy, evening TV?
Even MTV.
Oh, that's not what it says here.
I believe it. Okay.
Okay, so it's either evening TV or even MTV.
I always thought it was even MTV.
It doesn't really help me either way. Wonder Years?
That was...
You're in the neighborhood.
Full House. Full House.
Ah.
All right. We built a wall. We built the pyramids.
Is this the Big Bang Theory?
Yes, it is.
No.
How did you know that?
I don't know.
Are you watching the Big Bang Theory behind my back?
I think it may have come up in a previous...
Because if you are...
that was really fast, Tara.
Getting hassled, not getting hustled, keeping your head above water.
A hint, please?
Temporary layoffs, easy credit ripoffs, scratching and surviving... Hanging in and jiving or living? I can't tell.
Could be either.
Yeah.
A Kim Reed favorite.
I think it's jiving.
What's happening?
Ooh.
Shit, good times. It's fucking good times.
Yes. All right, last question for our first score break. Lucky there's a man who can... reset. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us laugh and cry. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us laugh and cry.
Charles in Charge?
That's Family Guy. That's Family Guy.
Oh,
no reason you'd know that.
Sorry.
Okay, I have 14 points. Sarah has 8 points. Eve has 4 points.
All right, Eve, you are... In the Equalizer Challenge Zone.
I think she has been on since we've been doing this, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I did it once before.
Okay. All right. Get half these questions right. You get 4 points. Are you ready?
Yes.
Who performed the first heart transplant at St. Elegius?
Elegius.
Elegius, thank you.
Elegius.
Yeah. St. Elsewhere, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, that's not right. Well, it's true you don't know. You're correct there. That was Mark Craig. Mark Craig. Huh? What soap character had a fling with a South American revolutionary named El Puerco? Oh, boy.
Really?
El Puerco. El Puerco.
El Puerco.
John Black.
Jessica Tate.
Okay.
What country superstar's posterior is attenuated in TV ads for Wrangler jeans?
Dolly Parton.
What?
Any other guesses? This is a no. kind of awesome answer. Not a woman.
Oh.
Yeah. Runway Twitty.
Willie Nelson.
Oh my God.
What?
Hot.
Gross.
Sorry.
How many points is a bonus question worth on the Newlywed Game?
14.
25. What TV family keeps his telephone in a coffin?
The Addams Family?
Oh, the other ones. The Munsters.
Stupid Munsters.
Who was abducted by aliens on soap? Wow, somebody loves soap.
Tony Danza?
Bert Campbell. All right, back to the game. Boy, are we ready for this one?
Is that the clue?
No.
Okay.
This is Tara.
Yeah?
Okay. I'll even eat a bean pie. I don't mind.
And?
I'll step back. I'm about to dance the greenback boogie.
I have no idea.
That's your favorite show, Suits.
Of course.
Suits. All right. Eve, billow and breeze, island and seas, mountains of rain and sun.
This song is stupid. Hint, please.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone.
Oh, Outlander.
Sorry, what?
I'm not going to say it in the accent, David.
Then
don't
you don't get the
me.
Point.
Outlander.
There you go.
Or
Outlander. I would like to point out that it is in the answer is actually O-O-T. Yes, thank you. wandering down this road that we call life is what we're doing.
Call life is what we're doing. Hint.
It's good to know I have friends that will always stand by me when this blank.
Different strokes.
Boy Meets World.
Oh.
I get... allergic smelling hay.
Green Acres.
I see you pretending you got a sliver, but you're not fooling me because I can see the way you shake and shiver.
A hint, please.
If we can count on you, blank, I'll know we'll catch that villain.
Shit, I don't know.
Anybody?
Is it Scooby-Doo?
It is Scooby-Doo.
Ugh.
Scooby-Doo. I've already waited too long, and all my hope is gone.
Oh.
Shit. Shit. Hint.
I am the sun and the air.
Oh, fuck. Charmed?
Yes.
Nice.
Wow, that was much too hard.
I would have said Angel and been totally wrong.
I'm okay, but I need you desperately.
Hint.
I want to be your superhero.
Is it Smallville?
That's not that much cheese.
It's Entourage.
Oh.
Oh boy, here we go. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back.
Oh.
Oh. Hint, please.
Burn the land. Boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Shit. Oh, my God.
TV's worst theme song ever.
No, but I've... Oh. God.
Aim so high, hit so
it's
low.
It's like this spawned a t-shirt.
Yeah, sorry.
Firefly.
Motherfucker.
Space!
I will follow anywhere that you tell me to.
the Gilmore Girls.
That's good for two.
Nice.
Finally.
Oh, interesting. Do you know what's in the water that you drink? Well, I do, and it's amazing.
Hint?
It's a jungle out there.
Is this Different Strokes? Just kidding. I know it's not.
Sarah might know that one. I know she watched this show.
Oh, Sarah?
A show called Monk.
Oh. Monk.
All right. All right. I will give you the additional hint because I'm sure this is an oversight on the person's thing, but this is a repeat show, but a different line. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Life is unfair.
This is for Eve, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, Malcolm in the Middle.
You're Eve.
Nice.
All right.
I like how you talked yourself. When you came in the... when you came in the... What? When,
oh, no.
Oh, I see. Missing a comma here. When you came in, the air went out and every shadow filled up with doubt.
Oh, that's going to... That I'm going to be annoyed. Hint.
Before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
That didn't help, actually. Dark Shadows. Why not?
So adjacent. Close.
Yeah. True Blood.
Oh.
True Blood.
The picture still hangs on the wall back in the day when you had it all. From back in the day when you had it all. The picture still hangs on the wall from back in the day when you had it all.
Hint.
You can't count on a second chance. A second chance will never be found. That's cheery.
Pushing Daisies.
Two Broke Girls.
Okay.
I'm trying to hold on to my past. It's been so long that I don't think I'm going to last.
Hint.
I'm more horse than a man, or I'm more man than a horse.
Whoa. Well. But it is not Mr. Ed.
Is it?
So I don't.
Just kidding.
So I don't know.
Now you're on the right track. That's BoJack Horseman.
Oh, right.
I'm going to assume that's an over end credits thing. On this lonely road, trying to make it home.
God damn it.
Hint.
Doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some? I see them long, hard times to come.
Justified?
Yes.
Yeah.
Taking steps is easy. Standing still is hard.
Orange is the New Black?
Yes.
Nice.
Hidden in the branches of the poison creosote.
Hello.
Hello. You know what I mean?
I just heard it ends on creosote. That's the end of the line.
Indeed.
I felt like there was going to be more. Hint, please.
Rise with me forever across the silent sand, and the stars will be your eyes, and the wind will be my hands.
No thanks.
Gross.
Stargate.
Get off me, nature.
It is not Stargate. It is True Detective.
Well.
Oh.
These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade.
Wow.
I'm not going to embarrass us both by asking for a hint since this is the A-Team.
It is.
Nice.
Some people stand in the darkness, afraid to step into the light. Some people need help. Some people need to help somebody with the edge of surrenders in sight.
I'm singing the entire song in my head, and I can't think what show it belongs to.
Some people stand in the darkness.
Some people stand in the darkness. I don't know what the show is. Hearing more of the lyric isn't going to help me. I don't know.
So just give you a no?
All right. Yes.
Don't worry. It's going to be all right, because I'm always ready. I won't let you out of my sight.
I'll be there. I'll be there. What is
Baywatch.
The show?
Baywatch!
Baywatch!
I never said you had to offer me a second chance. I never said I was a victim of circumstance.
Hint, please.
Go ahead with your own life and leave me alone.
Wait, is this Bosom Buddies? Shit,
God.
I finally got it!
Wisdom from the great William Joel.
No.
When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule, so why are you acting like a bloody fool?
Hint.
Whatcha gonna do when they come for you?
cops?
Here's a chance to make it. If we focus on our goals, if you dish it, we can take it. Just remember, you've been told.
It's a different world.
When the world never seems to be living up to your dreams, and suddenly you're finding out blank are all about you.
A hint, please?
You take the good, you take the bad.
Oh,
you
okay.
Take them
facts
both,
of life.
And there you have the facts of life. There ain't nothing we can't love each other through.
Sha-la-la-la, family ties.
Yay!
And in fact, was the hint. Sha, let me read it for you. Sha.
Yes, please.
La, la, la. I want a happy ending.
Well done.
I'm tired of pretending. Won't let them get the best of me. Whoa, 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 whoa.
And?
What happened to my piece of cake?
Someone left it on the right.
Cake boss. I don't know.
Give me a break.
Okay.
All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help we can get.
A hint, please?
We might just live the good life yet. You really got to be on the ball to get this answer right.
I'm not on the ball to get this answer right. I don't know.
Mr. Belvedere.
Mr. Belvedere.
These are all shows that I never saw. Okay.
Thank you. Standing Ew. Tall on the wings of my dream.
Nice.
Standing tall on the... God. Never mind. Hint.
It's my life and my dream. Nothing's going to stop me now.
Navally?
Perfect Strangers.
Also from one episode this season, The Leftovers.
That's right. If the teacher pops a test, I know I'm in a mess, and my dog ate all my homework last night.
Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, Saved by the Bell.
Hey, nice.
Together, we're going to find our way. Together, taking the time each day to learn about those things you just can't buy.
A hint, please?
Here we are, face to face, a couple of blank.
Oh, God. Silver spoons.
Yes.
Nice.
Bring us into our second score break. In my opinionation, the sun is gonna surely shine.
Hint.
Stop all your fussing, slap on a smile, come out and walk in the sun for a while.
Alice? I don't know.
Anybody?
Blossom.
Blossom.
All righty. I have 22. Sarah has 17. Eve has 10.
All right, Eve, you're back in the Grossworth Equalizer Challenge Zone. Let's hope for less soap questions. What branch of medicine is Dr. Stephen Kiley trying to specialize in?
Neurology.
Hey!
What was the first time soap to switch networks?
Daytime soap?
Days of Our Lives?
The Edge of Night.
Okay.
What cartoon family boasts a bubble car that can be folded into a briefcase?
The Jetsons?
What kind of animal beat Misty the Pony in an intelligence test on The Tonight Show?
Some sort of pigeon?
Ooh. Pig.
Pig. They are smart.
What Happy Days character was shipped off to Greenland after joining the army?
Richie?
Correct!
Hey!
All right, here's for two bonus day points. What religious show once needed 700 people to donate $10 a month to keep it on the air?
What religious show?
Yes.
The 700 Club?
That's right. Well done. So that nets you an extra 4 points, which brings you up to...
14.
Nicely
standings
done.
Are now nice. 14 for Eve, 17 for Sarah, 22 for Moore.
All right, back third coming up.
Here we go.
Tell me your secrets, and I'll tell you most of mine. They say nobody's perfect, but that's really true this time.
Mad about you.
Mad about you. Huh. Who would have guessed that the girl we described was just exactly what the doctor prescribed?
Hint, please.
She was working in a bridal shop in Flushing, Queens, till her boyfriend...
The nanny.
Till her boyfriend kicked her out in one of those crushing scenes. The same old thing we did last week. Not a thing to do but talk to you.
Is this for me?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, it is.
It is now. Hint.
Hello, Wisconsin.
Hello, Wisconsin?
Yes.
It's probably classless to guess making a murderer, and yet here we are. I don't know.
That 70s show. That 70s show. He'll give you the answer that you'll endorse. He's always on a steady course.
Is this Mr. Ed?
Yeah, it is. Go right to the source and ask the horse. Let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say.
And please?
Would you be mine? Oh. Could you be mine?
Oh my gosh, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Correct. I think this is also a double one. A repeater. There's no way you're not getting it. A man is born. He's a man of means. Then along come two. They got nothing but their jeans.
It was just wrongly guessed earlier.
Oh, I see. Now, wait. Hold on. I'm throwing a real point, a real extra point, if you can nail the delivery on this answer.
Okay.
Different strokes.
It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good.
She did it.
It sounded more annoyed than flat.
Well, she got it. It's
well,
already been counted.
It's always
in her
annoyed. Yeah. Trust.
Hello, sunshine. Goodbye, rain. She's wearing my high school ring on her chain.
Happy days.
Love won't hurt anymore. It's an open smile on a friendly shore.
What? A hint, please?
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you.
The Love Boat.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. I'm not going to say it like it probably is. She didn't care if the whole world looked.
No, she didn't. Neither did Maud.
Come and dance on our floor. Take a step that is new. We've a lovable space that needs your face.
Three's Company Two.
Riverboat, ring your bell. Fare thee well, Annabelle.
Oh, man. Hint, please.
Luck is the lady that he loves the best.
Is this Maverick?
Pardon me?
Maverick?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Oh, I hadn't even belted out the second part yet. Out of the night, when the moon is bright, comes the horseman known as Blank.
Is the horseman known as Blank?
Yes.
Hint.
Blank, the fox so cunning and free, blank blank who makes the sign of the Z. No, Z.
Z.
Zorro?
Come on, grab your friends. We'll go to distant lands.
Hint.
With Jake the dog and Finn the human, the fun will never end.
Adventure time.
We have pay or play contracts. We're zany to the max. There's baloney in our slacks.
Oh, God damn it. Hint, please.
Just for fun, we run around the Warner movie lot. They lock us in the tower whenever we get caught. But we break loose. Hang on.
Oh,
we break loose and then vamoose. And now you know the plot.
Animaniacs?
Yes, Animaniacs. Danger lurks behind you. There's a stranger out to find you.
Hint.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Soon to be rebooted.
DuckTales.
Good for a point. That was DuckTales. We're gonna light the dark of night like the brightest day in a whole new way. That sounds like it's the Green Lantern.
Hint.
Hey, you guys.
Electric Company?
Electric Company.
Nice.
Dance your cares away. Worries for another day.
Fraggle Rock.
2 points.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
He never gives up. He's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
Land and air. I will need a hint.
A real American hero.
G.I. Joe? Phew. Jeez.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword.
He-Man?
Yes, He-Man.
Oh, Jesus.
The hint was, I have the power. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
A hint, please.
Here I come to save the day.
Mighty Mouse?
Before each night is done, their plan will be unfurled. By the dawning of the sun, they'll take over the world.
Well, all right, that's not correct. Hint, please.
Narf.
Narf?
Narf.
I'm sorry, I don't know this. Pigs in space?
No, anybody?
I think Eve knows.
Pinky in the Brain.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow.
Reading Rainbow.
Oh.
She's a miracle, and I grant you, she'll enchant you at her sight. She's a blank, and she'll make your heart take flight.
False advertising is an extra hint.
Hint, please.
She's fantastic, made of plastic, microchips here and there.
The Bionic Woman?
Ooh.
No.
Westworld, just kidding.
That is Small Wonder. Small Wonder. All right, bringing us into our last Equalizer Challenge Zone compatible score break is this. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5.
Airwolf?
Ooh, no, that's Speed Racer. Speed Racer.
Oh.
Okay. Probably the best movie from the Wachowski brothers. I think everybody could agree.
Okay, I have 36 points. Sarah has 25 points. Eve has 22.
All right, Eve. Here you go again. What cartoon features Wendy the Good Witch?
Clarissa the Teenage Witch?
Well, what cartoon?
Cartoon.
It's also from the 80s.
I don't know. Teen Witch.
Casper, the friendly ghost.
Oh, okay.
Who said of her Wheel of Fortune job, it's a lot harder than it looks? It really is.
Vanna White.
Yeah.
What's the first soap opera to broach the subject of lesbianism?
What's with all these soap opera questions? General Hospital?
No, Young and the Restless. Who took over from Susan Stafford as the letter turner on Wheel of Fortune?
Vanna White?
Hey!
One more. What future game show fixture hosted Winky Dink and You and Juvenile Jury? Winky Dink and You, one show. Juvenile Jury, another show. What future game show fixture? Never heard of it.
Wink Martindale.
No. That's
that seems obvious.
Gotta guess.
Jack Barry. All right. Now.
Isn't that the host of 21? From Quiz Show?
Yes. Okay. Sure. Let's say yes. Oh, let's say Mo. What? Okay. Now, if you've been tracking the Growth with Equalizer Challenge, I think you have a very good chance of getting this question right. What series was originally slated to be called Oil?
Dallas?
Oh. Dynasty. Oh, the number one show on the Growth with Equalizer Challenge cards. All right. Everybody's got two questions left. Here we go. I feel it coming together. People will see me cry.
Oh, God. Hint.
I'm gonna live forever. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Nice.
The hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee.
But enough about you, Dave.
Hint.
It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for a living in the movies and TV.
I don't know.
Fall Guy, correct. All right, Ray's last question coming up. We could be roped up, tied up, dead in a year.
Community?
Yes. Oh, nice pull.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got my own mind. I do my own style in my own time. And now everybody sees how different we have come to be.
Oh, hint, please.
Talk about a two-way twister, shaking up the family tree with sibling synchronicity.
This is obviously some sort of show where that involves like Patty Duke show.
Sister.
Okay.
All right, last question of the game, guys. Just a man. Just a man with a man's courage. You know he's nothing but a man, and he can never fail. No one but the pure of heart may find the golden grail.
Nothing but a man, he can never fail. Flash Gordon?
Wow.
Holy
shit.
That was impressive.
Queen. My God.
Well done. All right. Final scores, please. Tara.
Okay. Eve had 24. Sarah had 27. I had 39.
Ah, a respectable showing from all involved.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a good game.
Shits and Giggles question coming up. You will get 5 Dave points.
Oh, boy.
A fiery horse with the speed of light. Any guesses? All right. Moving on. A cloud of dust and a hearty high O
Lone Ranger.
Yes. Hey.
Tara. Well done, guys.
Tara.
And thank you for that game. That was fun. I enjoyed
it. That was a cool game.
Yeah, that was good. That's it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We got our nails did for the TNT new Dixie Mafia salon drama Claws and presented our wish lists for Saturday Night Live first-timer hosts before going around the dial with stops at The Handmaid's Tale, iZombie, Invite Only Cabo, Below Deck Mediterranean, and Orange is the New Black. The Simpsons Halloween of Horror could not scare up a canon spot. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was the winner of this week's Game Time. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariana,
bring your threads,
Sarah D. Bunting,
I don't eat hot foods,
and E. Beatty,
Sarah took my line.
Thanks for listening.
That's awesome.
And we'll see you next time, right here on Extra Hot Great.
Forget all y'all old ass bitches. Out here wasting my God-given talent.
Talent? What talent?
Foreskin management?
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.